This morning we're in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 to 21, motivating teens to adhere to God's fixed moral order due to its comprehensive value. Maturing teens generally think about and plan for what they want to do in their lives as adults, what they'd like to achieve. I mean, the question, what are you going to do when you grow up? Sometimes we ask that question even of other adults in sort of a kidding way. But Solomon, as an adult, had gained great wealth and honor, according to 1 Kings 3:13, and wisdom, or chokmah, that is alignment to God's fixed moral order, according to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. And he informed his sons in Proverbs 8, 12 to 21, that there was a cause-effect relation between God's chokmah, that's his wisdom, and acquiring success in key realms of life. And it's interesting, as we get into the passage this morning, to find out what those realms are. They have tremendous application towards what we do in our lives today. So we view the passage for insight and encouragement by God's grace to align with his fixed moral order. I'd like to look to God in prayer before we get into the ministry of his word this morning. Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the word of God that we have in our own language, the indwelling spirit of God who is our help, our paraclete, the one who runs alongside to be of assistance to us. We look to you this morning, Father, for the wisdom, the insight to understand the passage, to apply it, and then to use it in our lives as we comprehend it, that we might indeed enjoy the blessing that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine in sound wisdom. I'm understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yes, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Okay, what's going on here? God's fixed moral order, as his chokmah, supplies the healthy attitude that produces success in life's endeavors. God's fixed moral order, as his chokmah, is closely allied with inexperience with prudence. The word prudence is from the Hebrew word orma, which means cleverness or sensibleness. We have a phrase or an expression for orma. We call it horse sense, common sense. It's that capacity in an individual to look at reality and make a realistic, common sense judgment in regards to what he sees going around him. And sometimes it causes you to go against what you might find in leading. Years ago, I was with a farmer in Nebraska, and he had just purchased a new combine, and he was trying to read the manual and make an adjustment on the combine at the time. He was having a fit trying to figure out what it said. So I looked at it and I said, oh, what they're trying to say, this is college speak for this and this and do this. And I said, you have to take this bolt and adjust it out here. He says, why don't they just say it that way? He said, they make it so complex and so complicated. Because a lot of times these guys who are writing up these manuals, they don't have the common sense like the farmer says. You know, what they need to do is look halfway between the header and where you're at, and you'll find there's this bolt in the nut assembly. I tighten it or loosen it half an inch, you got it. But that's not the way the college guys are thinking. They're thinking about the effect of what the bolt does, and they have to go through all the mechanisms. And the it just takes the farmer who hasn't had a lot of the college speak right out of the picture. So that's what God's wisdom does. It gives you common sense. And then God's chokmah also possesses knowledge and discretion. Knowledge means insight, but discretion is a very interesting word. It means healthy caution. Healthy caution. It's interesting, I had studied this passage in preparation for the lesson that we were going to have today. And this application of healthy caution, my wife and I applied twice this week with real benefit. So I'm very grateful. I learned from this information, and I use this information a lot like you do, but It's very wise, it's very good for us to be cautious when we get into a situation. If we don't fully know all the facts or are concerned about what might happen, it's a potentially risky situation or a sensitive issue, we need to have a healthy dose of caution. It doesn't hurt. So God's chokmah offers the common sense, the insight, and the cautious attitude that is needed for a person to succeed. And then God's fixed moral order supplies excellent moral judgment. Respect for God is the starting point of his chokmah, according to Proverbs 1:7, and it leads one to hate evil, pride, arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse or abnormal speech. Now, this is interesting. Solomon is sharing this information because it's supposed to be given to teens, young men who are getting ready to be preparing themselves for leadership. And so this is really, really applicable to teens. I can think of myself being in middle school or junior high school or actually getting ready for high school. And I look back on my life and, boy, I could have used a heavy dose of this passage and applying it in my life at the time. I remember as I was starting high school, my mom says, "Now remember, you're making a permanent record. Every grade that you're making is going to be in a record that will follow you for your life. So be careful to do the best that you can." It kind of scared the bejeebers out of me, but it was a healthy thing. I'm glad she did. But God's fixed moral order also leads ones to give sound advice and have sound judgment and insight and valor or courage, qualities that are necessary for very good leadership. In verse 14, it says, "Counsel is mine." So God's chokmah provides the insight needed to give good advice and good judgment. I was relying on this past week. I had one of the businessmen in our church give me a call. He said, "I need to talk to you away from the business. Could I come in and see you for about a half hour?" I said, "Sure, come on in." And I was studying this passage at the time, and I knew I had to rely upon God's wisdom because he was going to follow the advice that I had to offer, and it was going to be something that was important. And thankfully, the Lord gave the insight, and as soon as he opened up, started sharing what the situation was, I instinctively knew immediately what needed to be done. Sometimes it's easier. Someone like me is removed from the job, don't know all the details, not plugged in, and you can look at things a little more differently. Whereas if you're tied into the situation, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. So it's always good to bounce off. I used to do this too, bounce off, and sometimes I'll call another Christian that I know who isn't related to what we're doing here, someone in another state, and ask for advice. And often they can see the situation very, very clearly and give much more objective advice because they're removed from it. But sound advice is something that is a product of God's wisdom. And that wisdom also offers the needed power or courage for one to do the right under stress versus leaving him to doubt what to do and so sabotage his final achievement. Last part of verse 14, I am understanding I have strength. The word strength is actually the word valor. A lot of times people don't do well in leadership or they don't make good leaders because then when they get into a critical situation, because they know they have a big decision to make, they're afraid to make it. That's lethal. In oversight, you have to make a decision. Now, when you're first starting out in leadership, they say, 20 to 40% of your decisions are wrong, but you learn to eliminate what not to do in the future. So being decisive, a boss would rather have a person who's decisive and even occasionally makes a mistake than not to be decisive at all. Because if you're not decisive, that's going to destroy you. If you're decisive, there's a good chance that you're going to make the right decision. There's also a chance you'll make the bad decision. But even if you make the bad decision, you learn from that. And you can grow in that. So God's chokmah then provides that courage to be decisive so it doesn't leave you into doubt. When you get into a critical, life-threatening situation, you have to make a decision often, very quickly. And so you have to make a good one. Lewis Lee was telling me of a time there was a professional golfer who was golfing in a tournament, and his wife was his caddy. I get a kick out of this because he had a choice. It was on the 18th hole. He had taken a bad shot and was way off in the rough, and he had a chance of taking a very risky shot and shooting right at the green over some trees and everything and making it and then maybe winning $1,100,000. Or he had a chance of laying it up and winning third and getting $200,000. And his wife said, "You're laying it up."
She said, we need that $200,000. You can't afford to, you know, shoot for the win. And because if you lose it and it goes over the green, then we got water and everything else. We lose an extra stroke. So, and then it's going to be awful hard coming from that particular end of the green. So she said, I'm your caddy, but I'm also your wife. You're laying it up. So he did. He laid it up, and he got a third, but he took home, and his wife took home the $200,000. That's decisiveness. And also, it enables a person to make a decisive decision that works. Now, armed, kings with and executive officers reign well by means of God's hakmah. In other words, his capacity to make good judgment and to make a good and decisive judgment, the courage to do so, makes a person a good king. It also makes him a good executive officer in a business. Also, rulers thus armed in legislative roles make just laws by God's hakmah. Second part of verse 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Justice is something that is really needed. A sense of justice is really needed in our Congress right now to make decisions that are right and just and make just laws. Also, thus armed, princes and all nobles under them rule in their subordinate local realms effectively by God's hakmah. Verse 16, by me princes rule and nobles. Princes are further down the line than the rulers, and nobles are even further. They're more local leaders. So this would apply at any level of leadership. It could be in the home, with a parent with children. It could be a father in relationship or a man in relationship to his wife and children. It could be in a local business area or a big business. It doesn't matter. At all levels of leadership, God's wisdom makes an overseer effective. It gives him the courage to make the right types of decisions, to make them firm. It also gives him the good advice that he needs. So, in fact, this is applicable. This past week, a person was emailing me in regards to a parenting issue that had arisen, and I was thinking of this verse. Now, this invaluable hakmah of God is not hard to acquire either. It loves those who love it, implying it does good for those who appreciate it, and all who seek it diligently find it and are blessed. Verse 17 is very interesting. I love them that love me, and love those that seek me earnestly, and those who seek me earnestly shall find me. A lot of people think that wisdom is something that you get only if you have to go through a lot of experiences over a long period of time. Not necessarily so. You can become pretty wise very, very young if you earnestly seek it. If you look for it, you seek it in your life and pay attention to the insight that is provided around you, you can become very wise very, very quickly. Also, aligning to God's hakmah provides financial blessing and honor. It gives riches and honor, enduring wealth, prosperity in business, and it yields values exceeding the price of fine gold and choice silver. Verse 18 and 19, riches and honor are with me, yes, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So this is something that we need to pay attention to. We can really be helped. One of the businessmen in our church, he has a business in which he takes and he makes very expensive wares for other companies and sells them at a good price. But he's learned that often there are discard or materials that are discarded by other companies at pennies on the dollar. So he goes around and finds those, and he reworks them, remills them, or paints them and reworks them and puts them, makes them part of the equipment that he has. And then he turns around and sells that equipment at a real good profit. That's very shrewd, because he has a mind and an eye for looking at something that may look like junk to somebody else, but he knows that that has tremendous value if it's reworked. And so he does that. So God provides riches and honor like that and enduring wealth. Indeed, aligning with God's fixed moral order gives one not only wealth, but added blessings that are mixed with the wealth, and that keeps that financial gain enduring and pleasant as follows in verses 20 and 21. God's hakmah, that's his wisdom, makes its possessor order his life in the way of God's righteousness. Now, if he does that, one aligned with God's hakmah also walks in the paths of justice before God
and in the view of others and his relationships with other people. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. Now, one thing that you will find in an individual who is living a life that is consistent with God, if he's obedient to the Lord, he's honest before God, he does his work conscientiously before the Lord, other people notice that, because you can't hide what a person really is for very long, even from other people. It'll show up, because people are watching in those moments when we're not aware of what's going on. So if we know that in all times and in all ways, even in our thought life and our actions, we're doing that which is obedient to God, we don't have to be afraid about how other people will read this. They're going to read us properly, and they're going to respect us. So it's going to have a tremendous effect on our relationships with other people as well as with God. Well, righteousness before God and justice before God and one's fellow man produces wealth for the one with God's wisdom, because he loves wisdom and it makes his treasures full. I heard an illustration one time many years of a missionary who went to work with the Navajo Indians. And that's always a difficult job, because if you're white and or Caucasian in background and you go to work on an Indian reservation, often the American Indian has been raised to distrust the whites and so forth. And so there was this missionary having a terrible time trying to make ends meet, trying to get the gospel with the ladies. And finally, an Indian-American woman, a Navajo woman, came up to her and said, I'm ready now to listen to what you have come to tell us about your God. And the missionary was stunned. And the Navajo woman said, I've been watching the smoke come out of your chimney. Now, what she did is this missionary knew that every time in the morning when it was cool, especially, she would get up at whether it's 5 o'clock or 6, sometime in the morning, and she always light her fire. And she noticed that this missionary was always consistent. Even though they weren't paying attention to her, she was always consistent in trying to reach her. And because she'd seen the smoke come up for a year or two every morning consistently, she knew that this lady meant well. So just going on the smoke alone, coming out of her chimney, she said, all right, I want to listen to what you have to say. Because then she believed her character. So you never know. It's the little things in life that have a tremendous impact on other people. Well, righteousness before God and justice before God and one's fellow man produces wealth for the one with God's wisdom, because he loves wisdom and it makes his treasuries full. This woman was able to make a headway with this woman, lead her to Christ, and then, of course, this lady, a Navajo woman, she had friends, she had relatives and associates, and then she could influence them to come to want to know Jesus Christ as well. Thus, God's chokmah leads one to be comprehensively fulfilled in his successes in life. He not only appreciates having gained success, but also keeping good relationships with God and being righteous and with man and being just in his dealings with other people. So success is an entirely fulfilling event. So you can become wealthy by taking advantage of other people, and you might end up with a wealth, but then there's this broken relationship issue. On the other hand, you can be right with God and right with people. Then if you gain wealth, everybody's happy that you've got the wealth. So you have the wealth plus the happy relationships. So that's what the author is talking about. Comprehensive blessings come with God's wisdom. So maturing teens must be told that aligning with God's fixed moral order gives the blessings of common sense, moral judgment, the capacity to give good advice, have sound judgment, insight and courage to be a good leader, to provide all sorts of economic advantages with good relationships, and that this wisdom is really readily attainable if they love and diligently seek after it. I know, especially with maturing teens in the middle school and then into high school and so forth, the relationships they have with classmates is very important. Friends around them. Well, that comes as a result of God's wisdom, because if we are following God's wisdom, we act righteously, and if we act righteously, then we relate well and justly to people around us, and people accept us and like us and want us to be a part of them. So God's wisdom is very valuable at this age. So may we inform maturing teens on these facts that they might enjoy success in life. Many years ago, there was a teenager who was, he was a junior or senior year. And at his high school, they had a job fair. And in the job fair, you had various companies that had come into the gymnasium. They had booths all the way around the outside of the gym.
And what the teens are supposed to do is to come in, if they're interested in possibly working for one of these companies, to come into the gym there and go over to the booths and get information and maybe make an application for a job once they got out or so forth. And there was this one teen who was entering the gym, and he was beginning to cross the gym. And he stopped in mid-court, and he suddenly recognized he really shouldn't be spending his time with these companies because he'd already agreed with God to be a missionary, a foreign missionary. So he turned around and walked out. What's interesting is that many, many years later, that high school gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award because of what he had accomplished on the mission field in affecting a whole nation. And because he had chosen out of respect for God to do what God wanted him to do, then God made him a success, and God blessed him. This past week, as I said, we learned from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12b and c, the need to have healthy caution. An issue came up, a somewhat insensitive issue. My wife and I were involved in it, and we made a decision to go in the direction of healthy caution. And when we went in that particular direction, it's interesting, the Lord opened up a ministry opportunity that we wouldn't have had otherwise as a reward, indicating you're doing exactly what I want you to do. So I'm finding, I'm not a teenager anymore. I'm in my 60s at this point, but I'm finding even in my age, applying this passage is extremely valuable and workable in my own life. So I'd like to encourage everyone. We have people here all the way from young teens or even preteens up through my age and so forth. Well, this is a passage that is applicable to all of us. So God help us to pay attention to the wisdom of God. It's very practical, it's very down to earth, and it's incredibly valuable if we align with it. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback. It could be on something that we've covered this morning. It might be on something else. Whatever, and we'll do our best to address those questions that come up. And answer.